This is going to wind you up one way or the other. And I know that you are going to fall one side or the other. There is no in between on this one. Now, did you know that English spelling takes 3 years longer to master than other languages? That's what the English Spelling Society says. So now they voted on new rules, R-O-O-L-S, to make spelling easier. What do you make of that then? Is that right? Should we change things up? Should we have some spelling reform or not? What is the point of having a K at the beginning of the word knife? Surely it's redundant. Surely we should just bin it. Or am I wrong? Okay, well, this is something that has been voted on by the International English Spelling Congress. They are saying, yes, spelling should be reformed. But what do some of our specialists in the Channel Islands say? Well, here to talk about this subject, we've got English teacher at Highlands College in Jersey and on the team behind the Festival of Words. That's Paul Bisson. Paul, welcome along.
Hiya.
Also, we have Juliet Hart, local poet and co-founder of the poetry group La Poeti. Juliet, did I say that wrong or not?
La Poeti. La Poeti. You're pretty much right. Hello,
good afternoon. Welcome, well, welcome to you. All right, well, look, let's start with you then, Juliet. What do you make of this then? Should knife really have a K at the start of it? What do you think?
Oh, you know, I'm old-fashioned, I'm traditional, and I'm thinking language has evolved, is evolving, but I feel that this is quite a massive leap in evolution for our English language. I know that there are many people with poor literary skills, 16.4% if the figures I've been researching are correct. But it seems a big step to take to change the whole of the language of us English speakers.
So Paul, I mean, you're a teacher at Highlands. What's your feeling, first of all, on this?
Well, I think any kind of move that assists people to express themselves through the English language is to be applauded. I can see where they're coming from, because I mean, English does have an awful lot of irregularities and an awful lot of pitfalls for people. I think this might be a little bit of a clunky move, to be honest. I mean, language is fluid. Spellings change constantly with time anyway. I think to try and impose a top-down, enforced, reset on the English language is just not going to work, is it, at the end of the day, because you're still going to have spellings which people would have to learn, and which, you know, if we did adopt this new system, which presumably would still get spelt wrong. And so, you know, I kind of semi-applaud the effort, but at the same time, I'm not sure it's going to work, put it bluntly.
But what sort of words, in your position as a teacher, do people kind of like stumble across? Because, I mean, when you do look at some of the spellings of things, I mean, you can look at the word eight, you know, the number, for example, E-I-G-H-T. I mean, what on earth has that got to do with how you pronounce it?
Well, it's a lot of words have kind of come from various different derivations. So, you know, you've got Latinate words, you might have words that have come from kind of Norse backgrounds or what have you. So you've got all sorts of different languages and all sorts of different cultures pouring in over thousands of years to create a language. And so we have a lot of words that have legacies from some of those, really. And the irregularities, they're not put there to trip people up on purpose. They've kind of evolved that way. Mm-hmm. And so as an English teacher, some of the mistakes that people make, I mean, you'll find people, you know, I mean, obviously there are some conditions. You have dyslexia, for instance. Some people have got poor visual memory. So a lot of really simple words that you might not think get mistaken might be spelled incorrectly, because there's a whole range of different approaches to spelling. Mm. I don't think you can say there are some words. I mean, obviously some of the bigger words, the bigger and more complex the words, more likely they are to be spelt incorrectly. But you can have three or four letter words can be spelt incorrectly if someone has got a condition which kind of prevents the visual memory and recognition.
Juliet, I mean, you run the poetry group. surely if spelling, if words were read how they sounded, surely that would make poetry more accessible to a greater number of people, which surely would then be a plus for you. Because at the moment, things like poetry could be off-putting for some people because of the complexity of the words and more of the spelling of the words.
Yeah, that is interesting. But one of the things I love to play with when I'm writing is to use one word which has two different meanings. So, for example, I wrote a poem called Early Morning, but it was spelled Mourning. It was about visiting a military cemetery in Normandy. So I like to play with words already. So if somebody is reading one of my poems, they'll be reading one word, but I'll be using two different meanings. Do you get what I mean with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Look,
So homophones, I think, you know, that different meanings, different spellings, you need to keep those words separate, otherwise we'll lose all kind of meaning of a sentence.
Paul, I mean, the idea of, I mean, some might say dumbing down. I'm actually a dyslexic person myself, and so when I look at a lot of words, I find them very complicated to read. So when I look at the word, for instance, well, I don't know, fields, you know, E-R,
yeah.
When I'm just thinking, well, why isn't it F, eels, and the D and the S on the end? It kind of like makes much more sense. Do you though feel that perhaps by dumbing down the English language, you would lose something out of it? I'm not sure
whether it's dumbing down so much. I mean, what we're trying to do here, I guess what the intention is, to try to make it easier for a greater number of people to feel confident when it comes to spelling and not to sort of trip up as much. But I suspect that if you do that, you've kind of got to have a kind of baseline with, you know, these are how things are spelled, and we all kind of agree on that, and we all try our best to spell them as well as we can at the end of the day. And I think if you start to tinker around with it, I mean, you're going to end up with a mishmash of, you know, X percentage of people thinking it's spelled this way, and maybe those that haven't quite cottoned on to the, you know, the TSR, the new way of spelling it, are going to get confused. And then we've got all these legacy texts from the past, you know, from history, which are all presumably, if we change our spelling, are going to be spelt wrong. And then we need to go. And it just seems like a recipe for chaos to start implementing some sort of top-down reorganization. And I think we'd be better pressed to spend our time trying to assist people who have got conditions which make spelling difficult, putting a bit more resources and a bit more time into helping them come up with strategies or ways in which they can overcome, you know, those kind of issues and just kind of, you know.
What about though? I mean, how many people do you feel, or do you sense, are put off by studying English, perhaps at the level that you're teaching at, because of the complexities of spelling? And if it was opened up a little bit more, perhaps more people would be more willing to develop their skills in English for longer and carry on that learning.
It's a difficult question. I don't know of anyone who's been put off studying English because they're worried about spelling. I'm sure there are, you know, I've met students who constantly say, why is it spelled like that? You know, how can you explain this? This is, I mean, English has got some really frustrating irregularities. That's a given. But I don't think people are going to be necessarily put off. And as I harken back to what I said before, if we do insist on a new way of spelling, there's still going to be rules there which have to be learned. There's still going to be mistakes that are made. And if we switch to a purely phonetic type of English, I think, as Juliet has touched on, we're going to lose some of the nuance, and we're just going to end up with almost, if you think of, I'm thinking of A Clockwork Orange, for instance, this kind of weird hybrid English, which might not actually be that attractive, and we might lose some of the beauty and the grace of what we've currently got.
But when you think about, and I think, Juliet, you were talking about this initially, around 200,000 children leave primary school every year not able to read and write properly. And part of that is because, of course, spelling is absolutely linked with reading. You know, if you can't spell, your reading is also hampered. So 200,000 children leaving primary schools most years without the proper ability to read and write. And that is down to the difficulties around some of spelling.
Yeah, that's really disappointing, because reading, writing, it's just so important. You get so much out of out of so many areas of life through reading and being able to write. One of the things that I worry about with this new proposal is accents and dialects, because from different parts of England, there are so many different ways of saying different words. So there can't actually be one way that's going to work for everybody. I'm just looking at the geography of it all. But I agree with something that Paul said. Perhaps we could spend more time, or we need more books or different tools to help these kids, to give them, you know, the better start in life and to get over the problems that they're having with reading. I do agree, it's a really difficult language. Mm.
I mean, it is interesting. Look, finally, apparently the reasons that some of our words are a little bit tricky is that monks were paid by the letter, so therefore threw in a whole bunch more. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't know, but I like to think that's true.
There we go, guys. Look, lovely to have you with us. Thank you so much. And if you have an opinion on that, which side do you fall on? Is it time to reform how the English language works, how it's spelt, the spellings of things, cues, rule, Sean? What a lovely name. But it's, I mean, for somebody like me that's dyslexic, when I look at S-I-A-N, that is a real muddle for me. What about the word wrong? What is the W really needed? Should it not be spelt R-O-N-G?